When John the Baptist is introduced in the Gospel of John, it's right after the amazing prologue. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. It sounds even better in Greek. It's amazing. A lot of stuff doesn't sound good in Greek, but that does. It sounds beautiful in many languages. But so right after that, we have verse 1 through 5, this prologue about all of creation culminating with the Word, the Logos of God with Jesus Christ. And then we get to this man, John, sent by God. This man, John, sent by God. And people ask him, "Who are you?" And the first words out of his mouth are, "I am not the Messiah." He's sent by God, and he's the first words he says, the first recorded words of John the Baptist are, "I am not who you think I am. I am not that guy." I think it is important this Christmas season to remember that John is able to understand who he is by understanding who he is not. He is not God. He is not the one sent to save the world. He has given many gifts, many amazing blessings, gifts that you and I can't dream of, but he is not the one to save the world. He is the one to point to the one who is saving the world. He is to be a voice crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord." The epistle lesson for today, 1 Thessalonians 5, we have the shortest verses of the Bible. And so this is great if you want to teach a grandkid or someone a scripture. They can memorize scripture. It's awesome. Thessalonians 5:6, I think. 5:16. "Rejoice always." Bump. Period. That's it. Two words. You got it. The next one. Pray without ceasing. Pray continuously. Period. Sentence. That's it. A verse. You've memorized it. You got a scripture verse. Awesome. You already have both. All of you have memorized two verses of scripture this morning. It's great. They're imperative. Rejoice always. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. To rejoice is to take joy again, to lift our eyes up to the heavens again and give thanks to what God has done for us. Give thanks in every situation because this is God's will for you. Now, some situations are hard to give thanks for. We do not ignore them. There are hard situations throughout the scriptures that are still in the scriptures. For many of us, the holidays are hard times. We think about the people who are not here. That is why we're going to have the grief group on Tuesday. We think about the people who are hurting in our lives, who we wish we could help, we wish we could heal, but we can't. We think about the people who we wish could be with us, but for some reason cannot be with us that day. And yet we are still called to rejoice. We do not rejoice because it is easy, as in the words of JFK talking about going to the moon. We do this not because it is easy, but because it is hard. <Thank you. laughs> We rejoice not in easy things, but in things that can sustain us. And what can sustain us? So, I want to have a little thought experiment with you all. So this is a package of mini cupcakes from H-E-B. The label goes around here with all the ingredients in it. The last ingredient is carnauba wax. I have no idea what that is. Okay, so I'm assuming these cupcakes, untouched, would last for eternity. So I want you to imagine there's this cabin in the woods filled with these cupcakes and like lots of potable water, lots of awesome water in these cupcakes. And Dominic and Ephraim, our sons, 5 years old and 2 years old, find themselves stranded there. And that's all they have to eat are these cupcakes. Okay. So, and knowing my kids, they wouldn't actually eat the cake itself, which is the healthy part. It would just be the icing. So I want us to imagine, I'm going to do this just for effect. Okay. Okay. But they like it. You know, and that's the amount. So they have it. They have this. This is the only thing they eat. So they eat a day on cupcake icing. And they think it's the greatest day ever. Okay. That is a lot. Then the next day, The next day, they're, you know, they have a few crashes and burns, but it's still, they get up, they play around, they wonder where their parents are. They have some more cupcake icing. And then the next day, and the next day, and a week passes, and 2 weeks pass, and a month passes. And those crashes and burns get worse and worse. And start as, my grandmother would say, that rickets starts setting in. And scurvy, and these vitamin deficiencies would start happening. And you'd have these protein deficiencies, because you could get protein from the cake, but they wouldn't eat the cake because they have icing. Why would you eat cake when you have icing? And the point is, icing does not sustain you. Icing does not sustain you. It tastes good in the moment, if you like it. There are things in my life that would be the same to me. And it's just not icing, but this is the example. It seems good in the moment, but it does not last. It does not last. And we often have to go through these crashes and burns to understand this. And it takes a long time to realize that the point of why we're feeling so bad is all we're doing in our life is trying to live off of icing. There are things in this life that the world tells us are important but do not sustain us. In fact, they actually tear us apart inside. They tear apart the enamel of our teeth like icing does. They tear apart our bellies like just pure sugar does. They tear us apart, empty us out, because they don't give us what we need to survive. And that is what Paul is talking about in 1 Thessalonians. We rejoice in Christ Jesus because Jesus gives us what we need to survive. Christ gives us what we need to actually live. And we are still in this broken world. We're still in this world where the shadow of death hangs over so many, hangs over so many in this room, hangs over so many in our lives. Where the valleys of sorrow and hurt surround us. And sometimes we are in those valleys and the last thing we want to do is rejoice. That seems the furthest idea from what seems reasonable to us. When it seems like nothing is going the way we would expect, the way we thought our life was going to be. How can I rejoice in this? How can I rejoice in those times when every door I knock on slams shut in my face, I cannot find a job, when my child cannot find a job? How can I rejoice when I look at the tree that we put up year after year and the person who used to put it up with me is no longer with us? How can I rejoice in that? We don't rejoice by forgetting. Forgetting who we are and where we come from, forgetting the sad moments in our life is just like trying to live off of cupcake icing. It seems really good in the moment, but it does not sustain us. In fact, it starts destroying us. If you all remember the movie Men in Black from almost like 30 years ago, it's crazy. It's about aliens and this secret government conspiracy about aliens. But the important thing is when people see an alien, they go and they swipe their memory. And so that nobody knows what the memory is. So they go in with this memory stick and they're like, and they just don't have that memory. Here's a good example. Sometimes it feels like we would wish that for ourselves. We would wish those sad moments, those hard moments, if only we could just swipe the memory and not have to think about it, it would be better. If only I would just have to be able to forget that thing that I didn't do or that thing I wish I hadn't said, then my life would be so much better. And it seems like a good solution, again, in the same way it seems like living only on cupcake icing seems like a good solution. Because you realize that when you start erasing those hard memories, you start erasing who you are. You start tearing apart who you are and tearing apart who you are remembering. We must remember that when Jesus, after the resurrection, when he came to the disciples, the scars were still on his body. Even more so, when he goes on the road to Emmaus, he's all covered up. He's wearing clothes, and his scars are covered up by clothes. And the disciple who sees him, they don't recognize him. They don't recognize him. They're like, did you hear that news about the Jesus guy? And he's like, no, tell me about it. And they don't recognize until he reveals himself to them. Thomas in the upper room doesn't recognize Jesus until he sees the scars. He says, I need to touch them, but he doesn't need to touch them. He needs to see them. That's when he knows who God is. That's when he knows it is Jesus. The glorified body of Jesus Christ is is we're able to see it through the scars that he has that are not erased. It seems like it'd be logical to erase them, just erase them. Oh, that crucifixion, that was a tough time. I don't really want to remember that. And so he's like, I'm just going to clean up these wounds. He could do it, but he doesn't. He doesn't do it. After seeing the scars, Thomas rejoices. Rejoices in the scars that saved him. Paul tells us to continue to rejoice. Rejoice in the way that John the Baptist does when he says, I am not the Christ. Rejoice in the moments you realize that you cannot save everyone in your life, that you are not sent to do that. That is not your purpose, but to point to the one who does. To point to the star over Bethlehem, to that sign. We give thanks to God for the privilege of being given the bread of life that sustains us. You don't need to survive on icing anymore. As well as like the vitamin deficiency and the protein deficiency that go with that. That go with that life of shallow living. That life that eats you apart inside. That God offers us the bread of life, and so we should rejoice in that. The depth of the life of God is given to us in this Advent season. There's joy in the depth of God's love. That's what Gaudete Sunday, we are reminded to rejoice. We are reminded of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. God has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and comfort to all who mourn. We rejoice in the depth of Christ's good news. This is Jesus' first sermon is from this passage. This is the good news that he is bringing. Jesus Christ does not forget those who mourn. Christ does not forget those who are held captive. Those who are held captive in life, in prisons. Those who are held captive in sin. Those who are held captive to the blindness of a world that tells them that they can live off of cupcake icing. They'll be all right. That Jesus sets free. Jesus sets us free. That is what we rejoice in. That is the point of rejoicing to begin with. Our Lord is coming. We are free. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come for you. Shall come for you. 2 weeks ago, I preached about how we need to wake up. How we need to stay alert for the day of the Lord is coming. Are you ready?
Yes.
Good. We need to stay alert for that day, but we can also rejoice in that. We stay alert because we know what God has done for us. We rejoice in Christ Jesus because what God is doing in giving us this freedom and sharing this freedom with others. We examine our lives carefully because of the faith that God has given us. We are not closed off from God's love. One of the things I try to do at least once a week is clean my office. I have been more or less successful of that in the past. Right now, it's okay. It's not overwhelming. So a few weeks ago, we started the Plus One program with the Austin Energy, which is fantastic. And I think we've given over $5,000 away to people with utility assistance needs. And that's great. And it's a wonderful cause. And I realized after the first time, Liz, our administrative assistant, came back and was saying that they needed one of those paper stack plastic trays. And if I knew where anyone was. And so I went to my office. I found one. It was my stack of papers I didn't want to look at. And I really didn't want to give it away because that would mean I would have to look at those papers I didn't want to look at. And I did. And so it was just nice and neat. And then when I gave her the tray, I was like, there it is on my desk. I can't avoid it. These are the things I just want to avoid. I just want to not look at, but I can't. I have to walk in my office every day and just see that pile. Right there. And I think that's a really good metaphor for all of us. That all of us have stacks of things in our lives that we just don't want to look at. And you can't rejoice in that. You can't rejoice in things in your life that you're avoiding. You can't rejoice in people in your life that you're avoiding, in relationships that you just don't want to deal with. There's no joy in that. It seems like a good idea. It seems like, oh, at least I'll avoid conflict for today. In the same way, it seems like I could just have icing for dinner. Or I can just eat Christmas cookies today. There's plenty of them. I don't need to worry about a good meal. You can't rejoice in those things. You rejoice in the freedom that God gives you to look squarely at the things in your life that you want to turn away from. That is where joy comes from, to look squarely at them and say, you will not defeat me. I am forgiven by Jesus Christ. I am saved. I am loved. I am more than the things that I want to avoid. I am more than what the joy suckers in life say to me. And you all have joy suckers. We all have joy suckers in our life. People who every time we talk to them, we just feel worse about ourselves. Worse about the world. It's just like a vacuum. I am a beloved child of God. I am more than what the joy suckers say that I am. So may the God of peace himself cause you to be completely dedicated to him. That is how we rejoice, when we have our hearts set on Christ, as we mentioned with the disciplines, with the spiritual disciplines, as we do the things that Jesus did, we can rejoice. We can pray without ceasing. We can take joy always. Not as this unreachable ideal just for a few special people. That's a prayer person. They can pray always. I just can't do it. No, all of us. In the same way, that person's just happy. They're always rejoicing. I'm not that happy. I can't do it. No. We are all given joy in Christ. Not in ourselves, not in our families, not in our material possessions. In the fact that we are loved, that you are loved, that you are forgiven, that you are not the worst you think about yourself. You're not the worst anybody thinks about you. You are a beloved child of God, and we can take joy in that. That is the gift of Christmas morning. And we can even open it up early. We don't need to wait. You can open up that gift of rejoicing that you are loved. Will you take this gift of joy this Advent and dedicate your life to Jesus? Rededicate your life? Have your heart set on what sustains you. With serving your neighbor, with contemplating who God is, will you share good news to the poor? Will you bind up the brokenhearted in your life? Will you have your eyes open to who is brokenhearted in your life and how you can be a salve of God's mercy? Will you liberate those who are in prison to sin in this life, in prison to their own expectations which tear them down? Will you proclaim the year of the Lord's favor? Will you comfort those who mourn? This is good news. This is not icing. This is the bread of life. So let us savor it by living it out always. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.